today's message, I'm trying to segue into the message here now, that prayer is one thing that we do as we gather together for worship, right? Where we come together each week for these worship services. And oftentimes when we talk about that, I wonder, what do you all really think about when I say things like worship services or let's worship the Lord? What does that word really mean to you, worship? Does it mean that we come together and sing some songs? Is it about the prayers that we do? Is it something else that comes to mind when you think of worship? Or maybe worship is just this whole general thing that we do Sunday morning, what the church does on Sundays is we worship God. But what does that really mean? And honestly, from my own experience, coming from a kind of academic research, science research background, I'm aware of another image of worship that people have that I wonder how prevalent it is in our culture. And this one that says that worship is really something only really superstitious people participate in, or ignorant people. It's something that ancient people did when they bowed down to carven idols or assigned gods to things of nature like the sun and the moon. So of course, we're more enlightened today and we're more intelligent than that now, so why would we ever worship anything? And worship becomes something that you shy away from, or, you know, I don't want to let people know that I'm participating in worship because there's something wrong with that. And I wonder if that goes through our minds sometimes. We want to kind of separate ourselves from that word. So I want to talk about worship today. What really is it? The truth of the matter is worship is a basic human trait. Every human being worships in one way or another, whether we recognize it or not. And worship has something to do with honoring someone or something else. So whenever we devote ourselves to someone or something, we are worshiping them. It's an object of our worship when we place their priorities as the highest things in our lives, or trying to appease someone or something, wanting to please or satisfy them above all things. Worship is whenever we sacrifice things for something else. Or it may be whatever we fear most failing or disappointing. What are those things that we don't want to be, or who are those people we don't want to upset at all? Who are the ones that we don't want to disappoint at all? Is it possible we might be worshiping those things? Everyone worships someone or something. To really understand what worship is, we have to first ask ourselves, who or what are we worshiping? It's such a natural part of us that we often don't even realize that we're worshiping these things until we stop to consider what it is and what we're doing, and whether those things are really deserving of our worship. Is it good for us to worship the things that we do? Is it really worth all the devotion that we put into it? Or should our worship be better focused somewhere else? So a lot of ancient worship, of course, was focused, as I said, on natural things because people didn't really understand them. They're powerful things like the sun that brings warmth and light but also brings drought and death. Water can make crops grow but also destroys when it floods or pours out from the heavens. And so ancient people thought that there was some divine being behind all these things, and if they could just appease those beings by worshiping them, that their lives would be taken care of, that they would have a good life. They wouldn't be destroyed. And so naturally, those things became objects of worship because they were concerned about their lives, and they knew that if they could just appease these gods, good things would come. And of course, we know that some of these things are natural occurrences these days. They don't have minds and wills of their own. So we don't worship things like the sun and the moon. But what do we worship today? Well, there's all kinds of things that come to mind when you really stop and think about it. We worship money. We worship our jobs and careers. We worship material possessions. We worship fame, power, and authority. Sometimes we see these things in other people and we begin to worship those people in a way because we honor them so much. This is the celebrity culture that we have, where we look at people on TV or we read about them on the internet and we just think, oh, these people are so wonderful. If only my life could be like this, if only if I could be close to them, we could have something good, I guess, is what we're thinking. Sometimes we're not even thinking about it. There's just something about those people that we want and we want to be close to. That's worship. placing them and their lives above ours and above everything else. But often it's not the people, it's the things that they represent. Like I said, the money, the fame, the power, the authority. We're devoted to those things. We want enough money. We want our job. We want to be successful in our job and gain glory for ourselves sometimes. And so we sacrifice everything to do well at that career. We want certain material possessions. We want to be loved by other people. Love itself can become an object of worship. You spend everything trying to get people to love you. And you damage yourself in the process. We want these things because they believe they will bring meaning and satisfaction to our lives. And so we pursue things like personal glory and recognition. We desire above all things else, love, peace, happiness. We want a satisfied life, a life we can enjoy, and we worship those things. Now, those things are not necessarily bad things to want in the right quantity, in the right way, but when they become the most important thing in your life, you start ending up rationalizing bad behavior. You start sacrificing things that you shouldn't. You stop taking care of yourself and just pursue that thing. You destroy relationships around you, and you end up giving up goodness in yourself. And these things, none of these things really ever satisfies us. The desire for them continues to grow. The more you gain, the more you want. It's never enough. And our desire to satisfy these objects of worship keeps demanding more and more and more from us. But they have no power. They have no ability to give us what we want. So they're not really worthy of our worship. It's important for us to stop and consider sometimes when we're pursuing things like that. We're placing them too high as a value in our lives. I also think I need to bring attention today to what's probably one of the biggest objects of worship in our time. Perhaps it's always been this way. We see it even in the Bible, in the stories of the kings of Israel. And that object of worship is self. Without really even being aware of it, we often place ourselves ahead of all other things in the world. We honor and glorify ourselves. We place our thoughts and ideas ahead of everyone else's. We want our agenda to be fulfilled because it's the best. We want what we want, and we justify and defend ourselves. We see our motives and intentions as good while we judge those of others. And we tend to believe that we can accomplish anything we set our minds to. In doing all that, we are worshiping ourselves. And that's the kind of culture we live in today. You're promoted that you are the center of the universe. You are what matters most of all. But let's just stop and think about that. Are you an object worthy of your own worship? I think if you're really honest with yourself, you probably agree, no, you're not. I know I'm not. We don't always have the best motives in mind. We're limited in our understanding of how things really work. There's so many things that we don't know. When we want to accomplish something, we need other people around us to help fill in the gaps of what we don't know. We can't do it on our own. We're not even aware of all the things that we don't know. We're not really worthy objects of worship. And so we need to stop ourselves and consider, are we placing ourselves above all other things? Even sometimes do we do that? I think we're all guilty of it sometimes. And we need to stop ourselves and say, wait a minute, I am not worthy of worship. Who is? There really is only one person worthy of worship. One who has great enough knowledge about this world and the power to impact our lives and a will to decide how to use that power. And that only one person worthy of our worship, of course, is the Lord God Almighty, the creator of life. It's important for us as we talk about worship to first stop and understand who it is we're worshiping and make sure that we're placing God above all other things, that we're worshiping him, not letting all these other things slip in and take control of our lives. So then the question is, well, what does worship look like? How do we do it? What exactly does it mean? If God is the proper focus of worship, what exactly do we do? How do we worship God? And so there's a few places in the Bible we can look at to get some examples of this. Jesus, when he was speaking to a Samaritan woman who came to a well to draw water, he says, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know," talking about the Jewish people. "For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and now has come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For these are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in Spirit and truth." So I want to highlight that to begin with. God wants us to be true worshipers of him. Worshipping in Spirit and truth. Not having a false kind of worship. There's lots of different ways that we can feel like we're worshiping God, but we're not actually worshiping. We often associate worship with certain activities. As I said earlier, some consider music to be a general term for any kind of... Some people consider music to be worship, and that's what it is. Some people consider other religious activities to be worship. It's all focused on something that we're doing. Very often, these activities themselves are not really worship by themselves. Or we limit our worship by only focusing on them. These activities are really only expressions of worship. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 29:13 when he talks about worship. Isaiah writes, "The Lord says, 'These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based merely on human rules that have been taught.'" Now think about what that says. You can come near God with your mouth and honor him with your lips. You can say the right things. You can do the right things. You can sing all the beautiful songs that we sing. You can pray in a group. You can read through your Bible. You can be part of the church and not even be worshiping the Lord in any of that. And the key that Isaiah brought out is that your heart needs to be near the Lord. That's where worship begins. It begins in the heart. It's not just the words that we say or the actions we take. As I said, those are expressions of worship. Those are the overflow of what's in our heart. Worship of the Lord begins in the heart. Let's also take a look at what the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Romans as we've been walking through Romans. Take a look at chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is really a passage where I want to draw out a little bit more today what worship is. The Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul wrote this right after discussing the greatness of God's mercy and grace. He said, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will." Paul, I think, really gets to a key point about what it really means to worship the Lord in that passage. First, notice the motivation that he talks about. It's a response to God's mercy. He says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So our worship is a response, and it fits with what I said earlier about it being overflow of your heart. True worship is not about seeking something from God, as the ancient people did when they tried to appease those gods, or what sometimes we do by sacrificing our lives to try to gain these things that we want. Worship is not true worship. As God wants, it is not about trying to get something from him or trying to please or appease him. It's a response that we have to what he's already done. We understand that we deserve nothing from God. He has already offered his grace and extended his favor. There's nothing more he needs to give to us. There's nothing we need to do to get him to respond favorably to us. So we respond to what God has already done. And this reminds me of a favorite passage of mine from Psalms, Psalm 116, 12 through 14, which says, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people." That is worship. You respond to the goodness of God. You say, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness for me?" Knowing full well how weak we are, how limited we are. We can't give anything God that he doesn't already have. Yet, because of his goodness, because of what he's done for us, how can we not give him everything? We lift up the cup of salvation as though we're raising a toast to him, calling attention to Jesus and the salvation that he's given us, giving God all the glory and thanks for it, and then fulfilling our vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. And that says, boldly, before all to see, offering ourselves to the Lord, saying, "Lord, I will live for you. I will do whatever you want me to do, and I'm not afraid of anyone knowing about it." That is worship, responding to God's grace and love. And this, again, ties back to Romans, where Paul says, "Offer your bodies as living sacrifices." This is what worship looks like. It means giving yourself fully to the Lord, surrendering your body, surrendering your actions, your words, your thoughts, giving it all to him, giving glory to him in everything. It means surrendering your will to him and allowing your mind to be renewed and transformed by him, as Paul says in verse 2 there. Worshiping the Lord means releasing our lives into his hands to guide and to shape as he pleases. Offering ourselves to God in this way affects everything that we do and say. Our daily lives then become acts of worship. You can worship your God. You can worship God in your workplace. You can worship God at home. You can worship God when you're just walking out on the streets. Worship him when you're in school. It's because God has affected your heart and you're responding to him out of the overflow of your love for him. True worship is when we live as Paul describes in Colossians 3:17. He says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." That is true worship. Doing everything for the sake of Jesus Christ. Doing it all in his name. So we worship the Lord when we offer our families to him. When we look at our families and all the challenges that we have, all our hopes and dreams and our desires for what our families will do and be like, and we sacrifice that to God. We say, "God, you take it. You lead my family." We worship the Lord when we trust our spouses to him. We worship the Lord when we trust our children to him and our parents and all of our friends. We give God thanks for all those people in our lives, and we say, "God, I just want to love them as you loved me, and I offer them to you. And my relationship that I have with them, let it be in your hands. You guide it and shape it." We surrender those things to the Lord. We worship the Lord when we offer him our skills and talents, trusting him in the work that he's given us. And I think that means going beyond simply what's expected of us by the people around us, but rather using our gifts and talents fully to their full potential for the glory of God, to express God's love to other people, to give him glory for the ability to do those things, to stand out and let people know that we're here to serve the Lord. We're not just merely serving man. We're not just here to punch the clock and do what we've asked. We're here to worship the Lord. We're going to give ourselves completely to the tasks. We worship the Lord when we commit ourselves to the work of the church. Not just because, again, because it's expected of us, because, oh, here we go, the church is going to put on another event and they need more volunteers, so I better adjust my clock calendar, or I better get out of town because I don't want them calling me for help. That's not worship. It's not even... Worship isn't the opposite of that. When you volunteer for everything and you're there for all the events and you're filling in, that's not worship either. It's not even doing the good things that we can do for the world, going out and feeding the hungry, packing gifts for children. We worship the Lord when we commit to the work of the church because we're doing it out of love for the Lord. And we know that we are better together, that God has called us together as a body of Christ, a community, to do his will in this world. And we want to offer ourselves fully to doing his work in whatever ways we can. That's worshiping the Lord in the church. We worship when we come together weekly, when we pray together, when we sing together, when those prayers and the words that we sing, or when if you're on the team, if you're playing instruments, when those things are an overflow of what's in your heart. It's not the words of our prayers that are worship. It's not the sounds that we make. It's the expression of our heart. And so we invite you, as we come together in this place every Sunday, to just release any expectations you have of what this church is wanting of you. Release any expectations of what you think God wants you to do, and just let your heart soar with joy and thanks for God. Don't worry about whether people are listening to you sing or whether they're going to like the words that you pray or, you know, if you're going to say the right things. Just praise God. Let him speak through you. Let your love for him be expressed as you sing out, as you speak out when there's time to do that. We're worshiping him right now as we explore his word and consider what it means for our lives. It's worship as we take that word in and we ask ourselves, how, Lord, can I worship you better? How can you transform the way that I think and the way that I act? And so the point that I keep coming back to is true worship begins in your heart. It's a heart that's been transformed by the gift of salvation we receive by our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus came and gave his life for us so that we can be forgiven and we can have this new life in him. And he has filled us with such a great expression of love. How can we not be transformed? How can we not be overflowing with love and thanks and joy for what he's done for us? And worship, true worship, is an expression of all those emotions and all those things that we're thankful for. Worship is expressed in our lives in all kinds of ways as those things continue to overflow from us. We worship him with our hands and our feet and our eyes and our ears and our mouths as we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. So let's worship the Lord with our lives. Let's not be shy about it. Let's not worry what anyone else thinks, because we know the Lord God is the creator of our lives, and he has poured out his love into us. Let us make giving him thanks and honor in our complete trust be the greatest desire of our life. When we seek him, all those other things that we sometimes look to get taken care of. He provides for us in ways that we can't. He will make sure that we have the appropriate amount of love and provisions and relationships for life. So put your trust in him. Let's worship him with our lives. As we turn our lives into ongoing acts of worship, we will discover God's good and pleasing and perfect will for our lives. So may our lives overflow with worship for the Lord today and every day. Let's worship him with prayer and then stand and just rejoice as our hearts cry out with one more song, praising him for his love. Lord God, we thank you for your love for us. I think that's worship begins, I think, Lord, with thanks. And so as we gather here to worship you today, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us, for considering us worthy of your love, Lord, even when we didn't deserve it. We thank you for sacrificing your son for us on our behalf and for inviting us to be your children. Lord, you've invited us into a new way of life and a new way of thinking. It's too wonderful to put to words sometimes. So I pray that our hearts would be just filled with joy today, filled with thanks for what you've done. May our lives overflow with that love as we worship you continually, day in and day out. And Lord, may our words as we sing this last song be praise to your ears because our hearts are filled with love for you. In Jesus' name.